Good morning. My name is Lisa, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the NBPE investor call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you, Mr. Vonlea. You may begin your conference.
Thank you very much. Hello, and welcome to the NBPE investor update call. This is Peter Vonlea, and I'm joined today by my partner, John Boozer. As always, the presentation we will be using today, as well as the other reports that we published this morning, which includes our quarterly report through September and the October monthly report, can be found on our website, www.nbprivateequitypartners.com. So we have a wide range of investors who dial into these calls, and some of you know us very well, while others are newer to our story. And just given the feedback that we've gotten about the calls, we're looking to strike an appropriate balance here and to be efficient for all of you. So what we're going to do today is go through our overview information relatively quickly so that we can spend more time on some of the actual portfolio developments and as well as the current market. Please feel free to contact John or me or Paul Daggett or any of our other colleagues if there's any topics that you'd like to go into in more detail after the call. So, turning to the actual presentation, as you know, NBPE is a closed-end investment company providing investors with diversified exposure to the private equity asset class and the opportunity for both capital appreciation and current income. As you can see on page three of the presentation, that's exactly what we're continuing to do. So in terms of capital appreciation, our NAV per share cumulative total return year to date was 5.2%, and our share price cumulative total return year to date was 2%. Now, while this has been lower than in some previous periods, we are pleased with our overall portfolio, and we're going to give you more details today on why that's the case. Regarding income, we continue to be providing income to our investors. We have our annualized dividend yield of 4.4% based on our stock price, or 3.5% based on NAV. And our dividend is substantially fully covered at a 98% coverage ratio. Continue to have a strong balance sheet with $850 million of assets and over $700 million of value and an adjusted commitment coverage ratio of over 200%. So now let's turn to our portfolio mix on page five of the presentation. Our portfolio is 76% invested in direct investments. And that is 43% in direct equity investments, 33% in income investments. Our legacy fund investments are currently 24% of the portfolio fair value, and that portion of the portfolio continues to roll off nicely and with strong cash flows. Now, one question that's come up is the lower amount of income investments we have in the portfolio. And this is not part of a strategic shift in any way. Our view is that actually over time that portion of the portfolio will be 40 to up to 50% of the portfolio. And by the way, equity will be more in the 50 to 60% range. But the reason for the income portfolio being a bit smaller has been for good reasons. It's been from having some very successful realizations of some of the investments that we have made, and we're in the process right now of analyzing a number of additional investments for inclusion in the portfolio, in that portion of the portfolio, but you know, the decrease in value in the amount of our NAV that's in income investments has come for the good reason of having had those successfully realized with strong returns. So looking at page six of the presentation. We've spoken extensively in the past about the advantages that NBPE receives from our manager, and I won't go into all those here, but the most important thing here to just mention is that the private equity business at Neuberger Berman continues to do very well. The assets under management are up to $34 billion, and the team remains stable and growing. Now, this whole platform that that Neuberger Berman has in private equity very much benefits NBPE in terms of deal sourcing and the information advantages that NBPE receives from the manager, even in areas where NBPE isn't invested, from having those deal sourcing and information advantages. So now let's turn to our direct equity co-invest strategy and portfolio. And let's do that perhaps best by actually looking at some real data and on page eight. So one of the questions that we are getting a lot has to do with valuations in the private equity asset class in our portfolio in particular. Now, the bear case, if you will, that some people have said is, well, valuations have came down a bit in public markets. Or likely to continue to go down in the future. So doesn't that mean that we're going to see a big drop in private equity valuations? Now, we'll talk a little bit about some market data and about our portfolio in particular, but that seems to be the view given the widening of the discounts for listed private equity stocks. Now, on page eight, you can actually see actual market data. So the top line shows the enterprise value to EBITDA multiples of the public markets as measured by the Russell 2000. And what you've seen is over the last number of years, a material rise in those multiples from about 10.9 times in 2011 up to 16.7 times at the end of September of this year. Now, if you look at what's happened for private equity transactions in the U.S., and these are just when I say private equity transactions, these are new private equity transactions that occurred during the relevant period. You've seen the multiple enterprise value to EBITDA multiple increase from 8.8 times up to 10.3 times. So definitely an increase, but not nearly the increase that you've seen in the public markets. In addition to that, what you have there is a substantial discount of private equity relative to public markets in the U.S. And in fact, that discount is about as wide as it's ever been if you look back over time. So given that substantial discount at which private equity investments are being held, we just don't think there's nearly the room to drop in private equity as there are in public multiples. Now, that's interesting to talk kind of theory of markets, but let's actually look at NBPE in particular and compare that to that market information. And you can see that on page nine. So the right two bars are the same ones from the previous slide, 6.7 times for Russell and then 10.3 times for new transactions in 2015 in the private equity universe in the U.S. Now, if you look at the NBPE portfolio, if you look at our co-invest portfolio, you can see that in the second bar, the one that says NBPE all equity investments. What you see there is we're holding our portfolio on average at 10.3 times EBITDA for equity transactions. Now that it's serendipity, but it happens to be exactly the multiple for new transactions in the private equity universe this year. Now, interestingly, though, that portfolio that we're holding at 10.3 times EBITDA, that portfolio you can see in that breakout box up there on the left, has 4.8 times EBITDA debt to EBITDA. But importantly, these companies grew revenues by 12% and EBITDA by 15.6% over the last 12 months. So these are companies that are continuing to grow strongly. Are being held at 10.3 times EBITDA. Now, also interestingly, we looked at our purchase price multiples relative to the market averages, and you can see that we're about a half turn below. So our deals so far in 2015 we've done out of NBPE have been done at an average of 9.8 times EBITDA, and that compares relative to 10.3 times, as I said, for the market as a whole for new transactions in private equity. So we think that solid portfolio being held at reasonable values. Now, that's one thing to just talk about the theory of private marks or where you're marking something on a private basis. But we're private equity investors, so we're not focused on the marks. We're focused on what the amount of cash we put in, and the amount of value that we receive when we actually sell an investment over time. So another analysis that we conducted, you can see on page 10. What we did there is we took all of the realization events that we have had from our equity co-invest portfolio since the beginning of 2014. And that includes six IPOs, two partial exits, and seven fully realized investments. And what we did there is we compared that value at exit to 1 quarter prior, 2 quarters prior, and 3 quarters prior to that exit. And what you see here is that is shown on the graph. You see that the actual exit value at, on average was 7.7% higher, or said the other way, was being held 1 quarter prior at 7.7% below what we actually received on exit. 2 quarters prior, it was held at a 19.3% discount to the final exit value, and 3 quarters prior, it was held at 24% discount. So clearly showing that the realization values that we are having from our portfolios are tending to be meaningfully higher than where we were marking the investments 1, 2, or 3 quarters prior. Now, every transaction is different and the fair amount of variance investment by investment, but looking at it overall in the portfolio, see that we're continuing to get meaningful valuation uplifts upon actual exit. So let's turn on page 11 to our debt strategy. We're not going to go through everything we're doing in the private debt landscape here, but just one thing to just remind everyone about is that we're not focused on just private lending in general to any private company. What we're focused on lending to are private equity-backed businesses, where because of the relationships and the information that our manager has, we have material sourcing and diligence advantages in making those investments. And one thing that we think is really a critical element to our strategy in private debt, particularly in the current market environment, is that our ability to say no. It sounds obvious, but isn't necessarily always the case for people for lenders that don't necessarily have the advantages that we do. Because of the fact that our managers investor through various vehicles in hundreds of private equity funds and diligences thousands of private equity funds, that provides us with a significant information advantage on tens of thousands of private companies, but also allows us to say no to lending to a private equity-backed business and still have the sponsoring private equity firm continue to show us new transactions. Whereas a standalone lender is likely, if they say no to a transaction, to not see the next one from that private equity firm. So next thing I'd like to do is actually turn to our performance on page 13. NBPE, we've talked about what the performance has been already. Year to date, 5.2% NAV total return, 2.8% share price total return. You can see the returns for 1, 3, and 5 years and since inception, continue, we think, to have a solid row ahead of us for continued ability to generate returns for our investors. So page 14. Now, even after the successful realizations that we've had from our income portfolio, and John will go into those in a fair amount more detail, a strong income portfolio. That income portfolio has a 9.8% cash yield or 10.3% total yield, and that portfolio provides us with a 98% dividend coverage based on the cash income coming from that portion of our portfolio. We would expect over time to get that back well north of 100%, but we're obviously going to do that based upon the individual investments that we find. What we have right now is an annualized dividend yield of 4.4% based on share price, or 3.5% based on NAV, and are proud of our dividend policy that we have been able to install. So now, before John gives you a deeper dive on the portfolio, let's briefly touch on the subject of discounts, and you can see that on page 15. As of October 31, we're trading at a 21.8% discount. As you can see, that's pretty much in line with the private equity peers, both the direct and the fund of funds vehicles, but obviously significantly different from the income investments. And as we point out, the income investments are a material portion of our portfolio. And while we performed well relative to peers in each of the categories, we're trading a wider discount than the weighted average among those three. But really, that has to do with really being in line with the private equity peers rather than with the income peers. And we think that by continuing to maintain our dividend, continue to have a strong income portfolio, our hope is that over time we can go and continue to narrow that gap. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to John to give you more details on the balance sheet, but in particular on the investment portfolio. John?
Yeah, thank you, Peter. So if you turn to page 17, you'll see our summary balance sheet information page. And the first five lines on that page are descriptive of what types of assets we hold currently and as of December 31st. So if you look down to about the third line, you'll see at this point we're at $622 million of direct co-investments, both income and equity. And the legacy fund investments on the next line are now down below $200 million at $195.5. You'll see a $32.3 million reduction in the first 10 months of this year as we run that portfolio off. Moving down a little further, three or four lines, you'll see the credit facility borrowings have decreased to $55 million from the start of the year, in part due to the strong realizations that Peter described. And if you go clear to the bottom, you'll see the increase in the NAV per share value. In the third line from the bottom, a 16-cent increase in our net asset value per share. And then the next line, our 48 cents of cumulative dividends, so 64 cents of accretion in the value of a share from the start of the year, which represents 5.2%. Flipping on to page 18, I think this is a strong page that shows how our strategy has worked very well to have a well-diversified portfolio across co-investments and income investments over time. Upper left-hand pie chart shows the investment type, and you can see 24% legacy fund investments, 43% equity investments, and 33% income. The geography, we have been heavily North American weighted. We think this is a strong risk-reducing strategy because of these fewer externalities in the North American market to cause loss of value in the companies. You see in the bottom left, very well diversified by industry. And then finally, a very strong part of our portfolio analysis is the year of investment pie chart on the lower right. Most private equity firms, when they enter into purchasing a company, they believe they're going to exit that company within about 5 years. The result, you should have a constantly turning over portfolio, and this pie chart illustrates how our portfolio is constantly turning over. From the investments from 2009 forward, they represent 83% of all the investments. So we do have this constant changing of what's in our portfolio as we realize investments. And even the 2008 and earlier, that 17%, you'll see, we'll talk a little bit later about one very large part of that we're in the process of liquidating over time. It's been a very successful investment for us. Page 19 is our capital position. We've always, since the inception of this company, maintained a very strong capital position, and that continues today. Basically, you add in this chart the cash balance and the available credit facility, give you a total of 170.3 of available capital to satisfy capital calls. Our adjusted unfunded commitments, these are amounts we've committed that we're obligated to make those contributions, is 82.7. So we have a large excess of the 170.3 over 82.7, giving us a coverage ratio of 206%. If you flip on to page 20, these are historical cash flows. And again, these illustrate the strength of our portfolio constantly realizing investments. Since the beginning of 2015, we've received $268.7 million in cash back from our investments that we've made. That actually represents 32% of the beginning of year net asset value. So it shows a very strong vibrancy in our portfolio. We've also made new investments of $190.8 million as we replace those investments. Looking at the bar chart specifically, If you look at the blue bars, the contributions that we've put into investments are on the left, and the distributions we get back each quarter are on the right. You'll see that in the blue, the legacy fund investments, it's almost entirely money coming back at this point. The gold or the equity investments, you'll see that's a very consistent amount of investing and distributions being received back quarter to quarter. And then income investments, as Peter said, we had some significant realizations, and you see a spike in the amount of realizations back in the portfolio and also an increase in the amount we're investing in new investments as we replace those old investments. Page 21 talks about a couple of the realization events in our equity investments. We have received back across all equity investments almost $64 million of distributions during 2015. The two that are highlighted here, one is Kick Custom Products. It was a manufacturer of private label consumer products, and it was, as you see in the thesis, an attractive midlife transaction. Midlife transactions are where we invest not at the start of a private equity investment with the GP, but we invest subsequent, maybe 2, 3, 4 years down the road as they need more capital, perhaps to do an add-on acquisition in many cases. Those investments have been very good for us, and as Peter talked about, our very strong platform across MBPE that puts us in great position in private debt. Likewise, having a very strong co-investment platform in MBPE gives us the ability to do these midlife investments when many other investors won't. And Kick has been a very successful investment for MBPE. The other company is a much older company, Sabre, which we invested in that oldest part of the pie chart, 2008 and before. It's been very successful, 4% of the NAV of MBPE, and we're selling that down from time to time as we liquidate that now public company. Page 22 are some of our new equity investments. We've invested $73.1 million in 14 new equity investments. We have a couple examples of those 14 here. Ellucian is a vendor of software solutions to the higher education industry, which allows colleges to run themselves sort of from start to finish to improve the whole student experience. Concilio is another technology company that allows companies, when they're especially in litigation, to bring in a large number of documents that they've discovered and to go through those on a computer-based system to pick out the documents that need to be reviewed by the lawyers specifically. Those two companies, you see the sponsors are TPG Capital, Leonard Green, Shamrock Capital, all premier private equity sponsors. Page 23 gives an overview of the equity investments, looking at the entire equity portfolio that we have currently, which represents $353 million of fair value. It's diversified across 76 companies, and it's alongside 40 different sponsors. Some of the key points about it are it's primarily buyout investments. The valuation multiple of the underlying companies is the 10.3 that Peter mentioned earlier. The leverage in these companies is at 4.8 today. During the last 12 months, the portfolio as a whole has had excellent growth of 12% of revenues and 15.6% of EBITDA. Turning now to the income investments on page 74, you'll see that we've received, as we talked earlier, a great amount of realizations from the income investments, $162.3 million. Coming back, and again, this is, as Peter mentioned, because of the strength of the companies being either sold or being refinanced. The two that we've shown here are completed debt refinancings that paid off our earlier debt that we extended to these companies. One is with Dell Tech, where we received back $20.5 million in proceeds, and Trinity Consultants, where we received back $6.6 million in proceeds. On page 25, it shows the activity in the new income investments. We've invested $108.8 million in 14 new investments, so we continue to create well-diversified portfolios. The two examples here, you'll see that they each have a cash pay of 9.5 and 9.25% with a 1% OID. And again, they represent each about 1.2% of NAV as part of our goal to stay well-diversified. There's a summary on page 26 of our current entire income investment portfolio, which represents $269.4 million in 42 investments. You can see in the statistics on the left, the third one, there's a 9.8% cash yield on the entire portfolio and a 10.3% total yield to maturity. 75% of the fair value is invested in floating rate debt with floors of 1 or 1.25%. The weighted average total debt in these companies is 5.1 times trailing 12 months EBITDA, and the weighted average 2.8 times. So we think this portfolio is well positioned. Finally, page 27, to complete review of the portfolio, the legacy fund investments, as I mentioned, they now represent under $200 million of fair value, very much in realization mode, with very few contributions going into the funds. I think all of them passed their investment periods. So the $42.6 million of distributions during the first 10 months is a trend that will continue as though that becomes a smaller and smaller part of our portfolio over time. So with that review of the portfolio, I'll turn it back over to Peter for a few closing comments.
Thank you, John. On page 28, just one additional thing to point out to people who've talked about the share price and discount, but point out in terms of trading volume, year to date so far we've had 11.9 million shares of MVP traded, which comes to about 55,000 shares per day. But also, think of it a different way. We've had about a quarter of the shareholder base of NBPE, a quarter of the shares traded so far during the year. So a meaningful amount of trading activity occurring. Just in terms then, in terms of summary, we're very comfortable with where the portfolio is today. We're continuing to find interesting new investment opportunities, continue to have strong realization activity from the portfolio, and we're very comfortable with the valuations at which we're holding the portfolio. So with that, I'd like to open it up to any questions that people may have.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Natalie Krikus with Case Notes.
Hi there. I just have a question with regards to the industry exposure. You've got about an 8% allocation to energy and utilities. How is that part of the portfolio holding up?
Short answer is it's holding up well. So obviously every company is different, and some companies do better than others. But overall, we're very comfortable with that portion of the exposure in our portfolio. And that area, that's a fairly diverse set of exposures. So we do have some E&P in there, some services, but also some areas, for example, in electricity generation that have nothing to do with oil or gas other than using gas as a fuel. So, very, very comfortable with that portion of the portfolio, very comfortable with how we have that portion of the portfolio valued as well.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Ian Schuller with Stifel.
Good morning. I just wanted to ask about the commitments. Obviously, commitments have come down considerably over the last year or two. And the NB co-investment program, I think that's down to $32 million. The NB healthcare credit's down to $9
million.
I mean, are there plans to make new commitments to other NB programs over the next few months?
We have actually made a commitment to the next to the MB programs and made a substantial one that's disclosed in a number of the documents that we've put out. But just to be clear about how we did that, we did structure that in such a way where NBPE would, under certain circumstances, have the ability to go and cancel that commitment if that was necessary for NBPE, because we're trying to find the best possible path for NBPE to be able to have exposure to those sorts of transactions, but be in a position, given just the nature of the capital structure of a closed-end vehicle, to provide flexibility in the case of sort of more extreme events. And so there is that commitment is there in the amount of $125 million. It's just it's not being included in the adjusted unfunded commitments because it has that ability to go and cancel that if necessary. So we think NBPE, we think of that from an NBPE perspective, it's sort of best of both worlds.
And over the next 6 months, I mean, do you think there'll be new opportunities that you might commit to in terms of NB funds?
There's always the possibility that we can do that. Nothing that we've announced up until now. There's commitments to funds, but also there's just investments, whether it's NB related or just additional direct co-investments and direct debt investments. We're continuing to look at all of those and have a relatively robust pipeline across all categories. So clearly we've had a stretch of nice realizations, right? And so that's taken the investment level down a bit. We definitely believe we have room for increasing future investments because we expect to, just given the pipeline of realizations that we see and the realizations that we've had, we definitely have room for making of meaningful amounts of new investments.
Yeah. Thanks very much.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Natalie Krikas with Case Notes.
Hi. Sorry, just another question. You talked about how the portion of the income investments has come down, and I presume that's a result that the dividend cover has come to 98%. You said that you are very happy to say no to anyone you want where you don't feel comfortable. Are you happy with the cover ratio to stay, at 98% for now until you see the right opportunity?
Yeah, and the coverage ratio is going to go up and down every month, right, based upon the actual realization activity and new investment activity that we have. So we never feel forced to make an investment. That's the beauty of the platform that we have and the strength of our pipeline. We're not going to make an investment to make one number on a slide be a certain number. We are very comfortable, though, that given the quality of deal flow that we have, that there is not a question at all about NBPE's ability to generate meaningful amounts of income and sufficient income to go and continue its dividend policy.
Great. Thanks so much.
And I show there are no further questions at this time.
Great. Well, thank you very much, everyone. And as always, please feel free to contact any of us with other questions you may have.
Thank you for participating in today's conference. You may now disconnect.